All right, amen. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Amen. All right, appreciate it so much. All right, good to see you one and all here on this special Holy High Sabbath as we partake of communion together. Communion service is a little different if you're visiting, even if you're a member here normally. We do about five things different than the normal service. First of all, there is a homily, which I read. It's all from the Word of God, but we're not digging in deeply into the book today. And it's a little bit shorter. It's about 10 minutes long. So that we start with that. Secondly, after that, after I have the prayer, we'll go out through these doors, and you've already been given instructions as to which rooms you'll go to for foot washing, which we do along with communion. It's very meaningful. It's a way to just kind of, you know, make things right with one another and with God. And so we hope you'll partake of that. If you somehow came and you weren't ready to do that, that's fine. Just stay right here. We'll be back momentarily, and we'll partake of communion together. We practice open communion, so that means you don't have to be a member, but we do insist that you are an adult or able to understand the symbols, right? Because we don't want anybody to partake unworthily. Also, instead of having children's story at the normal time, the children's story is during that time when we are out in the rooms partaking of the foot washing. Lastly, there's an offering. We take the Good Samaritan offering at the end of this service. So there'll be deacons at the back of the church to take that offering at the end. So, with that in mind, we'll go into our homily now. And it's about Jesus' location, Bethlehem, destination, Calvary. We can only imagine the horror that all of heaven must have felt when the human family was plunged into the hopeless doom of eternal darkness when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And yet, even then, the promise of redemption was sure. Even then, man would have a second chance. Although deserving of death, Christ stepped between the living and the dead and said, "Let the punishment fall on me." After man's first attempt to save himself, illustrated by making skins as a covering, and after we see God in love pursuing, taking the initiative to commune with them in the cool of the day, we have the first gospel promise in Genesis 3:15, also known as the Proto-Evangelium. That first amazing gospel promise. I have the amplified version here today, and it says this: "I will put enmity, that is open hostility, between you," now remember this is speaking to the serpent here, "between you and the woman, between your seed or offspring and her seed." He, that is the promised seed of Christ, "shall fatally," or "crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So what does this promise mean? Although the Savior's heel would be bruised, pointing to the experience of the life of Christ, especially the closing scenes, the promise to the serpent was that his head would be crushed. Christ would be victorious, and the devil, although causing trouble and pain to God's people, would eventually be vanquished to ultimate defeat. Come on, say amen if that's good news. But for this gospel promise to be fulfilled, Jesus, the majesty of heaven, the beloved commander of the angels, the one who was one with God, must step down from his throne to a manger, and then eventually be nailed to a cross. He must leave his regal crown and a royal scepter and wear the crown of thorns. The divine Son of God must clothe his divinity with humanity. He must step down, 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 and not count his equality with God something to be held onto. And this he did for you and I. God in Christ would reconcile the world to himself. Although always fully God, Christ would be garbed in humanity. He must live the perfect life and meet the positive demands of the law. And he must die. He must die the death of all men. He must die your death and mine. And that's exactly what he did. He died for us, and he died as us. In him, we have a complete offering, an infinite sacrifice, a mighty Savior who is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by or through him. In love, he came and revealed to us the Father, and to reconcile mankind to the Father, and to make us a new creation after the image of our Creator. Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. Man, that is us, no man can make atonement for themselves, but they can accept the atonement, or that word can be said as at-one-ment, that has already been made for them. 1 Peter 3 says this, that Christ suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You see, we were not redeemed with corruptible things, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a perfect, spotless lamb without blemish. It was through infinite, inestimable, beyond calculation sacrifice, and inexpressible, beyond comprehension suffering that redemption was given to the human race. Christ, in his wonderful condescension and humiliation, would come from the glorious holy light of heaven to this dark world. He would come from his position of nobility to one of dishonor, that he might exalt you to receive immortal joys and eternal honors in the heavenly courts, in that place where there are gardens underneath which rivers flow. During his life of 33 years on earth, his heart was wrung with inconceivable anguish. The path from the manger to Calvary, from the cradle to the cross, was shadowed by grief and sorrow. He endured such heartache as no pen could write, no tongue could speak, no language could portray. It was said of him prophetically in the Lamentations, "Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which was brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted me on the day of his fierce anger." Although hating sin with a perfect hatred, yet he gathered to his soul the sins of the whole world, your sins and mine. Guiltless, he bore the punishment of the guilty, holy and innocent, yet offering himself as a substitute for the transgressor. The guilt of every son and daughter of Adam cried out for retribution against him, for he had become man's substitute. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in and through and by him. Voluntarily, our divine substitute bared his soul to the sword of justice, that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord could have cut off the sinner. That would have been the easier, cheaper plan. But the costlier plan was chosen. In his great love, he provided hope for the hopeless, giving his only begotten Son to bear the sins of the world. He has poured out all of heaven in one rich gift. The bread that we will partake of and the pure wine, or that is grape juice, point to the fact that Christ would provide everything for us, that we might take the cup of salvation and become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So let us go with hearts subdued and yet appreciative of the life poured out unto death and the love that is stronger than death. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we're so grateful today for the sacrifice made on our behalf. And we know, Father, that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself. And Jesus, that you would come down, down, down in order that we might have eternal life. And as we partake of these emblems today, it is that sacrifice, that coming down that we celebrate and that we partake of, that bread which symbolized your life, your perfect life, we partake of, and that wine or that grape juice symbolizing your blood poured out unto death. Oh, Father, what a great, amazing sacrifice was made on our behalf. Thank you so much for your love for us, and may we, in appreciation, give our hearts and minds fully back to you today. Be with us as we go to the foot washing now and in the communion service to follow. We thank you in Jesus' name.